Each Sunday, we come together to inspire one another, and to enthuse one another to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the true goal of life. In this age of Kali Yuga, the process given by the Lord is very simple. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. By serving the Lord and His devotees, we attract Krishna, who is all-attractive. The name Krishna indicates that the Supreme Absolute Truth is all-attractive. No one but the Absolute Personality of Godhead is all-attractive. We may have some attraction, but that attraction is only attractive to some. As it is said, one man's food is another man's poison. For instance, Bombay is full of rats. We have all seen so many little rats roaming from place to place. And so many millions of rats has come about because rats are attracted to rats. It's not something that happens by some mysticism. The male rat is infatuated by the beauty of a female rat. The female rat is very much enamored by the prowess of the male rat. And due to this attraction, so many little rats are manifested. And similarly, mosquitoes, Prabhupada called them mosquitoes. There are so many flying around. How are there so many? The male mosquito is attracted to the female mosquito. The shape of her form drives him mad. And thus, the result is so many little mosquitoes, and then they become big. Attraction is everywhere. And amongst human beings, the explosion of population is coming due to this attraction. But we are not attracted to rats or mosquitoes, nor are rats and mosquitoes attracted to us. And even within our limited sphere, we can attract certain people, but certain people will not be. Just like two devotees, when they see another with shaved head and tilak, this is very beautiful. It just awakens our love. But for other people, when they see shaved head and tilak, they think, oh, this is terrible. Why they have cut off all their beautiful hairs and they're putting mud on their face? And some in the hippie generation, people were growing their hair long and wearing tattered clothes and never taking baths. And hippies were seeing other people like this. Oh, you are so beautiful. You are the embodiment of peace and love. But when the normal people in the society saw them, they couldn't even look at them. They're just distaste, disgust. What nonsense, craziness. So we have some power to attract, but only we can attract a limited few within our jurisdiction of attraction. And also, we cannot attract people for very long. When a person is very youthful and they have lustrous body and shining eyes, people are attracted. Lusty people. And when people become very old, nobody is attracted to that. If they have wisdom, people are attracted to their wisdom. But they are no longer attracted to their physical conditions. And at the time of death, what happens to... Who is attracted to your dead body? They place it in the ground, and then the worms are attracted to your dead body. Or the flames are attracted to your dead body. So in this way, we may have some power of attraction, But Krishna is all attractive. And how is he all attractive? Because he is supremely attractive to all. Because he has all attractive qualities. Actually, what is it that the rat sees attractive about the female rat? Or the mosquito? Or all human beings? It is the presence of the soul within the heart which creates an attractive experience. No one is attracted to the corpse. So, and every soul is just a little insignificant part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Therefore, anything, anyone, in any species of life is attracted to is simply Krishna. But because they do not understand, with knowledge and realization, who is that all-attractive source of all power of attraction? Their attractions bring about frustration rather than ecstatic bliss. Krishna consciousness movement is to teach every living being that Krishna is all attractive. And by learning how to directly be attracted to Krishna, we can experience the ecstasy of transcendental love and perceive the presence of Krishna through his various energies everywhere and in everything. And Krishna has so kindly appeared within the transcendental sound vibration of his name with all of his attractive powers. And when we chant the holy name with a pure and sincere heart, attentively in the mood of serving the Lord, then Krishna reveals his all-attractive existence, who is the source of all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all wealth, and all renunciation. Sri Bhagavan, who possesses all the opulences in full, eternally, has descended within his name. So Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple instruction, which includes all instructions, which is the very essence of all knowledge. And that is, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Very simple statement. But the more we ponder upon the depth of the meaning of this statement, the more we realize all the conclusions of all truths. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Therefore, we come together for the purpose of inspiring and enlightening one another to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he descended in this world in the role of a devotee, he came by his own example with his associates to teach what is real love, what is the real beauty of life, to come together to the devotees to celebrate the glories of Krishna. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through South India, where he, with only a servant called Krishnadas, he transformed millions upon millions of people's hearts. Wherever he would go, he would simply induce people to chant the holy names of Krishna. And he gave the simple instruction, Yari Krishna Thari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Goy Guru Hesh Thari Desh. Wherever he went, this simple instruction, chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, and become guru, give Krishna to others. Such a simple instruction. But anyone who accepted those instructions became blissfully situated in one's original constitutional spiritual position as the eternal pure servant of the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, the devotees had heard. And actually, every year, by the invitation of the Lord, all the associates and Vaishnava devotees of the Lord from Bengal and other places would come to celebrate Rath Yatra with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is explained that one year, the devotees, headed by Sri Advaita Acharya, they decided Now let us go. The Rath Yatra is coming. They would usually arrive soon before the Stan Yatra, the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath. So the devotees would all come together, and they would go first to the house of Sachimata, the mother of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they would receive her blessings, because nothing is auspicious without the blessings of senior Vaishnavas. This is the richness of the culture that devotees observe, that we are always humbly seeking the blessings of senior Vaishnavas. Even Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Shivananda Sen, Srivas Thakur, powerful, powerful scholars, Nitya Siddha associates of the Lord, even they were always humbly seeking the blessings of senior Vaishnavas. So after touching Sachimata's lotus feet and receiving her blessings, they began their journey to Jagannath Puri. A long way. And the devotees were so enthusiastic to serve one another. Shivananda Sen, he was a very, very sincere and humble devotee. And practically all of the wealth and all the resources he would earn all year he used simply for the purpose of serving the devotees during their journey to Jagannath Puri. He would arrange residences for them, so much management, so much organization. You know, from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, walking by foot takes several weeks. And every day he would have wonderful prasad arranged wherever they may have been, and wonderful accommodations and places to take their baths. And in those days also, there was in Bengal was ruled by the Mughal conquerors, and there were various vicinities and districts and kingdoms, and there was toll booths and tax booths and so many permissions to go from one place to another. In this way, Shivananda Sen was really a servant of the Vaishnavas. He was so anxious to please them, to make them happy. He would accept any inconvenience upon himself to make devotees happy and comfortable. And it is explained, as the devotees traveled, one particular year, the devotees, the associates of the Lord, their wives were with them, who were equally great devotees of the Lord, and their children, and sometimes their servants and maidservants. They were all Vaishnavas. The whole families were simply anxious to be with the Vaishnavas in the presence of Lord Chaitanya. And as they traveled down the roads, they were just happy to be amongst one another. It didn't matter what facilities they had or didn't have. It didn't matter whether they were sleeping under trees or sleeping in nice places by material sense. All that matters is we are together and we are chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
I remember in 1972, Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, and devotees came from all over America to be with Srila Prabhupada to celebrate Janamastami and Sri Vyas Puja, Srila Prabhupada's blessed appearance day. And the facilities there were, I cannot even explain. There was a 110-year-old tiny little beaten-down farmhouse with holes in the roof, hardly painted, and that was it. And the deities were in one room, and the devotees were upstairs, and there was a barn for cows, an old beaten-up barn. So somehow or other, and there was a few little houses in different places, but they were just old. There was no money, nothing. And all these hundreds and hundreds of devotees were converging from New York, from Los Angeles, from Washington, from Detroit, from Chicago, from Miami, Tucson, Mexico, Toronto, Montreal, everywhere. And as soon as you walked outside of the house, the little farmhouse, there was this deep of mud. And the devotees who lived there had big boots, but the people who came from the city temples, they didn't know what to do. They'd walk, and their shoes would get lost forever after one step. So where to put all these devotees? There was no beds in the community. There was no mattresses. There was just some floors and some hay where the cows sleep. So people were sleeping in the barn, in the hay with cows. And people were sleeping under trees. And during that time of the year, sometimes, and it did happen, there were torrents of rains and people are getting all wet. They're crowding in the hay with the cows. And the little brahmachari ashram was crowded with so many people. And where did the Mataji stay? In the barn, they just took a section and hung some dhotis. They tied dhotis together and made a little partition between one part of the barn and the others. So the ladies slept in the hay on that side and the men on this side. That was all there was. So some devotees complained to Srila Prabhupada, "We have come all this way, what kind of facilities? There's not even a telephone to make a phone call." Because the leaders of ISKCON like to make phone calls to all parts of the world, all parts of the universe. And the phone bills are testimony to this fact. So they complained that we don't even get allowed to use phones. And we're sleeping in hay. Srila Prabhupada said, "That is all right. That is all there is. You are together. You just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And that is all. What do we need? We have the association of devotees. We have Harikatha. We have Harikirtan. We do not need anything else. If we think we need anything else, we will not taste the nectar of the holy name. Until we have this faith, all I need is Vaishnava satsang and Harikatha and Harikirtan. If we have that faith, we will be satisfied with these things." So everyone was very happy. Prabhupada would raise his arms and inspire everyone to chant the Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
And it is true, everyone was in ecstasy. Just being with Prabhupada, being together and chanting Harinam and hearing Prabhupada speak. Even to this day, 25 years later, devotees, now they live in big beautiful houses and drive nice cars and have big temples, and they think that was the most precious experience of happiness in our spiritual lives. Just being with Prabhupada, sleeping in the hay or under trees, and just chanting Hare Krishna with the Vaishnavas. So as the devotees were traveling to Jagannath Puri, they were simply having kirtan. Whatever roads, whatever forest paths, they were simply dancing joyfully together with their arms raised, very loudly calling out the names of Krishna. And wherever they went, that place became Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And the townspeople and villagers of all these various places they were passing through, they were simply struck with wonder, seeing these hundreds and hundreds of devotees just joyfully dancing everywhere they went and chanting the holy names. They were effulgent, they were brilliant. And wherever they went, all the people of all the villages, of all the cities, they became naturally intoxicated just by seeing these devotees. And they all chanted the holy names of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the quality of real preaching. When devotees are so united and so happy spreading the glories of the Lord that people just become attracted. They just want to be like this. So in this way, just in their pilgrimage, just in their journey, they were making so many wonderful people Vaishnavas. And ultimately, they came to the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. And Sri Advaitacharya sent a message to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the devotees of Navadvip were coming. Who were these devotees? Who could even count the names of these great associates of the Lord? There was Srivas Thakur, in whose home Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed wonderful sankirtan for one continuous year every night. There was Chandrasekharacharya, in whose home Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the wonderful drama where he danced in the mood of the goddess of fortune. There was Murari Gupta, who was that great physician, associate, and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was such a physician that anyone who came with any type of ailment, he would give him the medicine of Harinam and cure him from the material disease of birth and death. And there was Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just about thinking of him, he would weep tears of ecstasy and cry out, "He is my father." And there was Haridas Thakur, who was very humility and tolerance personified, chanting at least 300,000 names of Krishna every day and simply excited to give the glories of the holy name to anyone and everyone he met without discrimination. And there was Suklambar Brahmachari, who was just a poor, very simple brahmachari. Everyone thought he was an ordinary beggar. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally would eat the remnants of the food he begged and declared it to be the most delicious and sanctifying food he had ever experienced. And there was Sriman Pandit, who when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance at night, he would carry a torch and a light to light the way for the Lord. So many devotees. And they all came to Madhava Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh. These three brothers were very, very famous kirtan singers who brought about great ecstasy in everyone's heart. And there was Mukunda Dutt, whose very singing would melt the heart of the Lord and melt the heart of all the devotees. Amongst all of these wonderful souls, Advaitacharya led the party. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that they were just coming into the precincts of Jagannath Puri, he sent his party of devotees to meet them. There is a bridge just in the outskirts of Puri called Ataranala. And at this bridge, the devotees would meet. And the devotees from Navadvip and Bengal were there. Also, the devotees of Kulina Gram and Srikanda had joined them, and they were all ecstatically dancing in transcendental happiness and singing the holy names. And then the devotees from Puri came to meet them. Lord Chaitanya sent with the devotees from Puri garlands and sandalwood and prasad and all sorts of gifts, and there was Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda and Jagadananda Pandit and Paramananda Puri and Pradyumna Mishra and so many devotees, hundreds of devotees. And they were all chanting ecstatically, so much excited to meet the associates from Bengal. And it was there at Ataranala that the two groups of devotees met. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the group. And as the kirtan was getting louder and louder, as they were seeing one another, their hearts were filled with ecstatic love, and louder they were chanting Harinam. Time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Advaitacharya, and they both bowed down to one another. And then all the devotees started meeting all the other devotees. And every devotee was offering dandavats to all the other devotees. And there was this dandavat after dandavat, hundreds, thousands of dandavats going at every moment. And devotees were embracing one another and looking at one another and crying. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself offered his obeisances to every single devotee. He embraced every single devotee personally and took them with his arm around their neck and began to weep in ecstatic love to see them. And the devotees were just weeping in ecstatic love to see the mercy the Lord was giving to each and every one of them. And each one of them understood, if the Lord loves each devotee so much, how exalted they must be. And this inspired them to have such deeper, great respect and love for one another upon seeing how the Lord was giving His great affection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed a garland on every devotee's neck with his own hand. He decorated the limbs of every devotee's body with sandalwood with his own transcendental loving hand. And in this way, there was a great, great festival of transcendental loving relationships amongst all the devotees as they were continuously chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Meanwhile, Maharaj Prataparudra, he had just been explained by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he had complete faith in the words of his spiritual master. So he wanted to see this wonderful experience of the devotees meeting. So Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took Maharaj Prataparudra to the top, the terrace or roof of his palace. And when he saw the devotees of Bengal coming and chanting and dancing, and he saw the devotees of Puri meeting them, and he saw such exchanges of ecstatic love, Maharaj Prataparudra was astonished. He was asking Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who are these people? They are effulgent. Each one of them is like the sun shining brightly, giving light in all directions. And I have never ever heard such transcendental chanting, and I have never seen such sweet and beautiful dancing. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Maharaj Prataparudra was the king of Puri. And in those days, so many kirtan groups and so many people were dancing and singing, coming to the temple of Lord Jagannath, the most famous temple in the world. But he had never seen a kirtan like this. Why? Because these devotees were pure-hearted. They were actually devotees of the Lord under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learning how to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, the power and the potency of their kirtan was uncomparable. Srila Prabhupada explains, there are many professionals that sing the holy names. There are many people who dance and sing various mantras and kirtans, but they cannot change one's heart. That it cannot awaken Krishna consciousness within the heart. But those who are simple and sincere associates of Lord Chaitanya, trying to serve the Lord under His direction, such devotees, when they dance and when they sing, they can transform the hearts of the whole universe. Srila Prabhupada explains that we must always understand that all kirtans should be done by sincere devotees following the principles of Krishna consciousness. And similarly, dramas. Dramas, however expertly they are enacted, if they are not performed but sincere devotees surrendering to the will of Guru and Gauranga and not following the principles of Krishna consciousness. They may entertain our mind, but they cannot awaken devotion in our heart. We only appreciate when they are done as acts of surrender and devotion. Then Krishna manifests himself through that kirtan. Krishna manifests himself through that drama. Krishna manifests himself in the heart of those who appreciate it and induce them to take shelter of his holy names. Maharaj Prataparudra was simply struck with great astonishment. Love of God was just awakening in his heart like anything. Just seeing the devotees exchanging loving relations with one another and just seeing the devotees chanting and dancing together. And he was inquiring about each devotee. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, even I never met any of these devotees. You should ask Gopinath Acharya. And Gopinath Acharya was explaining the virtues and the glories of each devotee. Who could possibly extol the glories of the devotees? Even the Lord himself, as if he has five mouths, cannot calculate his own appreciation and affection for his devotees. After this wonderful meeting, the Lord brought everyone to Narendra Sarovar, which is a beautiful lake. And at that time there was a festival taking place where the deities of Krishna, Balaram and Sri Govinda are taken out of the temple of Jagannath, the other Vijay Murtis, and they are put on a boat in Narendra Sarovar. And as the devotees all, they proceeded in their kirtan to Narendra Sarovar, chanting and dancing in great happiness and love for the Lord, love for one another. Then all of the pujaris and all of the priests and all of the people who work, who do their seva in Jagannath temple, they had kirtan with the deities. And when those two groups met, there was another ecstatic reunion of great Vaishnavas. And then the deities were put on a boat. And there were thousands of chamaras fanning the deities, and thousands of flags and festoons to celebrate this wonderful event. And on all sides of this wonderful lake called Narendra Sarovar, there were so many devotees, and they were all dancing in great, great happiness. And you should understand that this kind of dancing is not the dancing of this material world. When the associates of the Lord dance in kirtan, they are offering every limb of their body in sincere devotion for the pleasure of the Lord. After all, what do we have this body for? The purpose of this human form of life is simply to offer ourselves in devotion to God. Whatever we had should be used as an offering. Rupa Goswami explains, Prapanchakatiya Bodhya Hari Shambandi Vashtana Mamukshami Parityagyo Vada Gambhal Gukatyate. That to have something and not use it for the service of the Lord, but to neglect its purpose, is incomplete renunciation. So we have the power to speak. So we use this power to speak, to describe the glories of the Lord, to repeat the message of the Guru Parampara, to chant the holy names of the Lord. That is love. That is the perfection of yoga. We have a mind. We use this mind to always remember Krishna, to never forget Krishna. We utilize this mind of ours to always be thinking of various ways to fulfill the order of the spiritual master in Krishna. That is the perfection of the offering of this mind. But we also have this body. Our legs, our arms, our eyes, our ears, all of our senses, all of our limbs should be used for devotional service. And the Yuga Dharma in this age of Kali is Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting. How to use every limb of our body to offer as a for the pleasure of the Lord during kirtan. It is through the process of dancing, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. This is not just a sentimental form of entertainment. This is the ultimate form of yoga. You can practice for your whole lifetime's various difficult asanas from the Hatha Yoga system. And all you'll get out of it is a healthy body which will gradually deteriorate and die. Hare Krishna. But the perfection of yoga is to use every limb of your body to dance joyfully in kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord, where we are offering everything to the holy name. Sacrifice. Just as there is when you perform the Agnihotra, the flames go high, and we understand that the oblation is for the pleasure of Krishna who has appeared in fire. So similarly, during kirtan, when we raise our arms, it is like flames going up as an offering to the fire of Harinam, Krishna who has appeared in the beautiful sound of his holy name. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. People would sometimes criticize Lord Chaitanya. What kind of sannyasi is he? Why he's not doing pranayam and reading Vedanta? Why he's dancing and chanting? And others would explain that he is teaching the perfection of giving pleasure to Krishna through this Harinam Sankirtan. Krishna Barnam Fisa Krishnam Sangopangasha Parasharam Jagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Jantihi Shumedasha. In this age of Kali Yuga, those who have intelligence, good intelligence, Sumedasha, they will worship Lord Chaitanya, the Yuga Avatar, through this process of congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. And how the devotees were so happy just to be together to give pleasure to Govinda, the deity. The deity was on the boat and he was being pulled to various parts of the beautiful lake Narendra Srovar. And the devotees all together, their fixed attention was just to create a beautiful, wonderful atmosphere so that the deities would find happiness taking their boat ride in this beautiful place in Jagannath Puri. And after the boat ride was done, led by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees jumped into Narendra Sarovar. And they began playing a game called Kaya. Kaya is a Bengali game where you splash each other in the eyes. And they started calling out very loudly, Kaya, Kaya! And then they started splashing. And Lord Chaitanya was splashing, and he was victorious over everyone. And they were just having great, great happiness. But please understand, this is not the competition of materialistic people during some athletic event. Competition in the material world, you become very angry if you lose. If you're not angry, you're sad. You actually become very much filled with rajaguna, the mode of passion, to win. And you become completely victimized by this desire to win. But Krishna says in Gita that winning and losing, success, failure, honor, dishonor, we should not be attached to any of these things. When Lord Chaitanya and his devotees were splashing one another, they were simply offering their love to one another in the form of water. Hare Krishna. In such a pleasing way. And in this way, they had these wonderful loving exchanges of happiness together. And then they all went to the temple of Lord Jagannath. When they entered the temple of Jagannath together, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu He began weeping, rivers and rivers of ecstatic love. And when the devotees saw his ecstasy, they also became overwhelmed with spiritual happiness. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Advaitacharya, and all the others, they could see two Jagannaths looking at one another. There was the stationary Jagannath who was sitting on the altar, and he, with his big, beautiful lotus eyes, was gazing upon the moving Jagannath, who was Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God himself. And the Lord himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his beautiful, beautiful lotus eyes, which were elongated, practically touching his ears, was fixed, unblinking, at seeing the beautiful stationary form of Daru Brahman, Jagannath. And then Kashi Mishra came and brought garlands for every devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bowing down, embracing, and giving garlands to every single devotee. And it is explained that worship of the Vaishnavas is the ultimate form of religion. And this is demonstrated by the Lord himself. In the Vedic culture, everyone must bow down to a sannyasi. According to the Vedic system, the tradition is, if a sannyasi comes, if you do not bow down to that sannyasi when you first see him in the day, it is such an offense that you must fast the rest of that day. Hare Krishna. And it is explained in the Shastra that a father never bows down to his son. But if the son takes sannyas, the father must bow down at the lotus feet of his son. This is the power of the sannyas ashram. But here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lion amongst all sannyasis, the crest jewel of all sannyasis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only is he God, but he's also in the role of the king of society, of sannyasi. And yet he is offering his obeisances, worshipping and serving the Vaishnavas. And if a sannyasi does not bow down and worship the Vaishnavas, then his sannyas is simply a curse. It is an impediment. On one occasion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, when one takes sannyas and holds that danda, the first thing that comes in his mind is, now I am great. Now I am worshipable. Now I am as good as God. Now people should serve me. Now people should honor me and worship me, because I am representing the highest order. And one becomes filled with pride. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they become so filled with pride, they consider themselves Narayan himself. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught what is real sannyas. The perfection of sannyas is Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer all respects to others and to expect none for oneself. That is real renunciation. And that renunciation is not isolated only for sannyasis. That renunciation is the essence and the perfection of being a brahmachari, a grihastha, a vanaprast, or a sannyasi. It is the prime duty of every living being in every order of life to be humble and to constantly chant Krishna's holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped his devotees. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Lord Chaitanya taught that the most powerful forms of worship is worship of the Lord's devotee. Ganga is such a devotee. These are very powerful. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed that those who chant fixed number of rounds every day in the presence of Tulsi Devi, he said that I will personally never leave that devotee. That devotee will always should always understand that he is in my direct personal association. Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, he chanted fixed number of rounds every day while sitting before the beautiful form of Tulsi Devi. And Srila Prabhupada explains these two principles are very, very powerful. And one personally associates with Krishna by doing so. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so happily demonstrated through his life what is the true culture of Krishna consciousness. Param drispa nivartate. The culture which is so satisfying to the body, mind, words, and soul that we have no aspiration for anything else as we become purified. Srila Prabhupada explained by quoting Srila Lochandas Thakur, Kevala Ananda Kanda, that this process is simply joyful. But in order to experience the true, pristine joy of Krishna consciousness, we have to refrain somehow or other by engaging in sinful activities and sense gratification. Because at every moment, Maya is saying, here, enjoy. And at every moment, Krishna is saying, here, serve. The proper use of our human existence, real tapasya, is moment after moment to accept the invitation of Krishna. To serve the Lord, to serve His devotees, to serve the beautiful form of the deity, to serve the most magnificent form of the holy name, to serve the order of the spiritual master. There is unlimited service we can render at any moment. But simultaneously, the material energy is asking, serve me, serve your mind, serve your senses. Goswami means, no, I will not. I will keep my body, my mind, my words, I will keep my life always in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada explains in his introduction to the Hare Krishna songbook that the only safe place where there is no danger of material existence is where the devotees gather together in a mood of loving service toward one another, and with their arms raised they happily chant the kirtan of Hare
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. If we are not experiencing this great happiness, we should know it is because we are not really trying to become the servant of the servant. We are not really trying to make our priority in life to serve and to chant the holy names. And those who have the enthusiasm to perform this austerity will be so happy in Krishna consciousness. But if you are egoistic, inattentive, negligent, offensive, then even though following the rituals of Krishna consciousness, you will think, why this process doesn't work? Why am I in so much anxiety? But if we're humbly serving Vaishnavas, carefully guarding against offenses, performing the austerity of keeping ourselves engaged always, and attentively chanting Harinam and following the principles, we will be joyful. We will chant, we will dance, and then together we will take Mahaprasad, which is a very, very powerful, sublime process. By taking Mahaprasad in the association of devotees, we not only become satisfied physically, but it creates a great, deep, and sublime spiritual experience. So let us always sincerely seek shelter of the great mercy the Lord has given us through this wonderful process of chanting, dancing, feasting in the service of the Vaishnavas. Today we have two very, very exalted, illustrious Vaishnavas whose forms are shining like two brilliant suns before us, illuminating the universe. If you cannot see it, it's because your eyes have not been trained to do so. But I think everyone sees. Two very, very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada has so kindly come, one from New Zealand. Does everyone know where New Zealand is? If you know where New Zealand is, say Haribo.
Haribo!
If you don't know where New Zealand is, say Haribo.
Haribo!
It's a little island somewhere. Huh? Somewhere. And another great Vaishnava who has come all the way from South Africa. They are the two leading preachers of these two countries. Parthasarathy Prabhu, you came to Srila Prabhupada's movement in which year? 1973. And Jananda Prabhu was your Sankirtan leader. This is a very intimate reunion we are seeing right before our eyes. So Parthasarathy Prabhu is the leading preacher in all of South Africa. He has brought hundreds and hundreds of people to Krishna consciousness. He is very loved all over the world. Let us kindly welcome him to Radha Gopinath. Jananda Prabhu was Parthasarathy Prabhu's Sankirtan leader in 1973. Yesterday he explained so nicely some of his beautiful pastimes and preaching in England. And for 12 years he was leading Srila Prabhupada's movement in Malaysia, a Muslim country, very difficult place to preach. And now he is the temple president of the largest devotee community in New Zealand. Let us welcome him to Radha Gopinath. We would like to first ask Jananda Prabhu to speak something for the purification of our hearts.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane. Very happy to be here today in association of all the Vaishnavas here in Chaupati. I was discussing with Maharaj yesterday how in the past sometimes we would come to Bombay. Srila Prabhupada had, of course, had given us this wonderful Juhu project. But usually we come to Bombay City and usually try to get out as quickly as possible. Not Juhu, but Bombay. Maybe we come here to jump on a train, praying that it wouldn't be late leaving, or to jump off of a train, or to confirm our plane ticket or something. But the idea of staying in Bombay was generally not a very attractive proposal. Now it is the most attractive proposal, although of course we understand from Srila Prabhupada that we're not really in Bombay, Mumbai now. It's changed, we're in Mumbai. We're not even in Mumbai. But Srila Prabhupada would always say that this is not London, this is not New York, this is not Mumbai. This is definitely not Auckland, New Zealand, if you don't know where that is. Some little village in the ocean somewhere. Some people live there. But this is Vaikuntha. This is the spiritual world. There's no question about it. Still listening to Maharaj is such, as I say, absorbing and heartwarming talk. Remembering so many, this is the result of association of devotees, it churns a never ending kind of reaction of thoughts of Prabhupada, of experiences of association of devotees, of desires to increase on our own efforts to become devotees and so on and so forth. It just increases that desire, that enthusiasm, that eagerness to become a devotee oneself. This is the result of association of devotees. And there are just so many thoughts, I couldn't stop the thoughts going through my head during the last hour or so. So I don't have any, as I say, cohesive or systematic thing to say, but I was just, we'll just see, but I was just thinking, Maharaj was explaining earlier on about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates coming to Puri for the Rath Yatra, and he's just mentioned also how in Malaysia, this is a Muslim country. Some of you may have been to Malaysia, maybe you know where Malaysia is. It's in Africa, if you don't know, isn't it? He's from Africa. You should know. A lot of people tell me that. They say, oh yes, yes, I know where Malaysia is. It's in Africa. Oh yeah, yes, in Africa. Isn't there somewhere called Malaysia? Something like that. Malawi or something. Isn't it? Malawi. Some people think it's in Africa. Some people think it's in off the coast of Japan. And people don't know very these places. That doesn't matter. But in Malaysia, although it's a Muslim country, Prabhupada writes about Malaysia. It's actually immortalized in Srila Prabhupada's books many times. He describes how previously this used to be the Hindu place, but now they have all become Muslim. It's another term for Muslims. They've become Muslim. Previously they used to grow sandalwood. It was known, of course, you have the Malay Hills where sandalwood, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti talks about this. Malaya Hills and sandalwood, and previously they would grow sandalwood there, but now Srila Prabhupada says now they do not grow any sandalwood anymore. Now they are very enthusiastically growing rubber trees. So rubber is now the palm oil rubber. This is the main produce of that country. Of course, rubber can also be used in Krishna's service. One time Prabhupada said that we should make thousands and thousands of deities of Radha and Krishna, Gauri Thai. And he was suggesting we make them out of rubber. So that could have been one way that this could have been engaged in Krishna's service. We didn't do it. But anyway, there in Malaysia, Lord Jagannath, as we've been hearing about Dharo Brahman, the form of the Supreme Lord, merciful form, whose glance alone purifies unknowingly the hearts of all those who are fortunate to see the beautiful form, has appeared in Malaysia, very mercifully
travels all over Malaysia, and every year in Malaysia, the devotees there, they conduct at least 12 or 14 Rath Yatras every year in all the various cities of Malaysia. So in this way, even though it is a Muslim country, Lord Jagannath is very merciful. He's giving his mercy there. Because this Rath Yatra festival is a very special festival. It's coming up very soon here in Mumbai. And we just had Rath Yatra in Auckland, and they had Rath Yatra in South Africa recently also. And I was also thinking there when Maharaj was describing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees were ecstatically dancing, and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you go, just by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone would dance and chant and be ecstatic as they would chant. What is it they would chant? What was that mantra called? Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! 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 Hare Hare! Wherever they would go. And Srila Prabhupada, in the same mood. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time when Prabhupada was in New York, he was talking about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he was able to bring even animals. There's this beautiful picture here on the wall of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The morning when I sit here, just looking at that picture, the devotees chant so sweetly, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. And seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and the animals, the tigers, the deer are embracing each other and kissing each other in ecstasy in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like we sometimes, previously, before coming to this movement, some of us may have had the mentality of tigers, some of the mentality of snakes, some of the mentality of spiders and cockroaches and mosquitoes, and as we were hearing earlier on, so many different species of life. And the association of Srila Prabhupada, despite all of our animal-like propensities, we are now trying to put that aside and embracing each other. We may not be kissing each other exactly, especially if we're of different genders, but the principle is there. We're coming together in love and sharing, rich, poor, old, young, black, white, woman, man, sharing this mercy of Lord Chaitanya coming through Srila Prabhupada. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to bring even animals to this platform beyond the Ahankara, to bring them to the spiritual platform. And Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples, is saying, Srila Prabhupada, you're also doing this as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done, you're also doing. And Srila Prabhupada then said, no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was able to bring even the animals in Jharikhand forest to chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ramo! Hare Ramo! 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 Hare Hare! And Srila Prabhupada said, very humble, Srila Prabhupada was personification of humility, that I cannot do that. Srila Prabhupada said, I cannot do that. And his disciples said, but Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya was preaching in the jungles, but you were preaching in the concrete jungle. This is worse than jungle. Mumbai. Concrete jungle. New York. You cannot see the light of day if you walk through New York, practically speaking. But you have brought living, so-called human beings who are lower than animals, to somehow or another to this platform of chanting Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ramu! Hare Ramu! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! So we can see that this is by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mercy of Lord Nityananda, that Srila Prabhupada has done what no one else has remotely done. And millions of living entities, chanting the holy names. And also, not actually, Srila Prabhupada has also brought so many animals to Krishna consciousness. We may feel ourselves lower than animal, but literally speaking, animals have come to this movement. So many times we see dogs and other living entities taking advantage of this Sankirtan movement. In London, we're talking of Rath Yatra. I don't know if you were there then, Parthasarathi Prabhu, in 73. Were you there for that Rath Yatra? You were just there then. Very special Rath Yatra in London in 1973. You may have seen or heard. There was a newspaper report in the Observer where it said that it was, what did it say exactly? Challenge to Nelson's column, what did it say? I'll repeat that because there's no microphone there for Prabhu, Parthasarathi Prabhu. He said the festival, the Rath Yatra festival, is a challenge to Nelson's column. Nelson's column, in Prabhupada says, is a very grand column or statue in the centre of London where the pigeons come and pass stall all over Lord Nelson. Very famous place. There are millions and millions and millions of pigeons there. Their favourite pastime is stool. That's why they call them stool pigeon. They love to pass stool on everything they can pass it on. Especially people. But Nelson is one of their favourites. And he's getting abhishaked every day. Prabhupada would sometimes quote this, how even the Observer was observing the greatness of Lord Jagannath. And that was a special festival that year. And we all know it. Actually, it's immortalized in Srila Satsarupa Maharaj in the Leelamrita, have described it so wonderfully there. And so many devotees have shared their ecstatic entrance into this Sankirtan. By the grace of the pure devotee, we got this chance to enter into Sankirtan. I remember we used to, when we were kids in England, we would go miles and miles every Saturday. We would save up our pennies during the week so we could somehow or another go to the big city and go to the dancing club and where we could sing and dance and be merry. That was our week's goal. Spending all of our money, just like when people get drunk. I mean, what do people do when they get drunk? They raise their hands in the air and they sing and they dance. And they embrace and then they smash each other on the bottle with the bottle on the head afterwards. And they do so many other exciting things. But we would do that every week. And then we would vomit at the end of it all. It was such an ecstatic experience. Drunk. And then sometimes we'd be arrested or beaten up by some other similarly drunk creature. And we would hobble our way back to our home place. And this was our enjoyment. The Srila Prabhupada saved us. Maybe some of us here were previously going to such dancing clubs to watch the naked ladies, or whatever it may be, to drink, to smoke. You're thinking this is ecstasy. The Srila Prabhupada saved us from this, and he's given us also dancing club. This is a real dancing club. I must say that it really reminds me when we were taking prasadam with Radha Krishna Prabhu this morning, Parthasarathi Prabhu and myself. I was joking. And there was we were hearing Parthasarathi Prabhu say, "Is that a class going on?" We were hearing, "Is a class starting?" The boys were chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And I was thinking, why are they disturbing us? We're taking our breakfast, and they're disturbing us. It's like in Bombay in the early days, there's some complaint that they're disturbing the peace by this chanting of a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prabhupada quotes that many times. Why are they disturbing our breakfast? Tell them to stop. And then so we're thinking maybe it's a class is starting, and then Radha Krishna Prabhupada said, "No, they're in the kitchen, and they're cooking." Why, they have nothing better to do whilst they're cooking other than chant this Hare Krishna mantra? They should be talking about something or something more important to talk about, or some prajalpa or something valuable. Why are they chanting? And they ask, why are they chanting? But it actually reminded me of as Maharaj was saying, those relishes of those earlier moments of Krishna consciousness when we were living in Bury Place. It's 1971, 2, 3. Very simple situation, just like Maharaj was describing in New Vrindavan. We were living in the city, we had a block building. But we were also sleeping on the roof, 80 of us all cramped up in this little place, 12 of us in a little box room. My first day was sleeping in the toilet. Actually, on the threshold, there was the door, right on the door, crept up against the door, this dirty old smelly sleeping bag that they gave me, that somebody had vomited in the night before. I couldn't sleep, it's not so bad. All night long, devotees tripping over me, going to the toilet. There's some overeating, or I don't know what happened. Something going on. I couldn't sleep. The next night, I slept in the bath, in the shower room, in the shower. We had this amazing shower. I was sleeping there, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, the first devotee would jump in, turn on the power jet for the cold water. That was the end of that. We were sleeping on the roof sometime. Our next door neighbor, Mr. French, would be constantly pouring and throwing buckets of water at us and so many things, trying to get rid of us, calling the police. 80 people staying in a little tiny place in London is not normal. It's not allowed. We had no permits. Anyway, this was going. But all day and night we joined there. Because why? One thing, we didn't join because, oh, this is a nice comfortable pad to live. Nice soft bed. Look at those girls over there. Oh, look at those. Nice grub. Don't have to do anything. Nowadays some people come to Krishna consciousness. This is an easy life. You don't have to do anything around here. Nice, comfortable situation. Nobody ever asked you to do anything. An easy life. But it wasn't like that. We joined the movement then. We came to the movement then because there was only one thing, really. It was Prabhupada's love, which was emanating through everything and anything that existed there in Bari Place. You could feel it. Even though we never met Srila Prabhupada personally, you could feel that the person behind this is extraordinary. This is very extraordinary. What he's given us. And the devotees were just representing Srila Prabhupada, but they were just so enlivened. And just like we were hearing that kirtan this morning, and other devotees were chanting during whilst they were cooking. I haven't heard that in about 25 years, practically speaking. Sometimes we try to do it and fizzle out after 2 or 3 minutes. But in the earlier days, it was like that was the norm. It was kirtan all the way, morning to night, chanting, chanting, chanting all the way. This was a chanting movement. This is what brought us to this movement. This is what attracted our hearts. And the devotees in the kitchen, it would be always Krishna Katha. There would be no time for anything else. Cleaning all the way, the whole temple, after breakfast, everybody would do something and the whole temple would be engaged in kirtan from the bottom to the top. Whole kirtan, and then soon we up and straight out on Oxford Street, up and down Oxford Street, winter, summer, spring, autumn, day in, day out, 6 days a week, 7 hours a day, doing kirtan, snow, rain, everything coming. But no, the only thing that mattered was Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kulonas Jevanas Jevanas Jevagatiranyata. This is the only thing that mattered, was to chant the holy name. We would get arrested almost every single day. Every day we'd go on Oxford Street and the same policemen would be waiting for us on the corner. Gotcha! And we'd be running and they'd be running and then they'd have their other men, they would catch us in the middle, we'd be trapped. The Black Mariah would be, that's the name of the police truck, would be just positioned exactly in the middle to pick us up. And we'd be pushed in there and off to the jail. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And in the jail it was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The chief policeman there, he said, come on boys, chant, chant. He would tell us, come on, let's hear you more, louder, louder, he would go. He was actually arresting us because he'd like to hear us chant every day. And then they would release us after a few hours, after the other prisoners. They would also, sometimes they would complain. Then they would arrest us and then we would go to the court the next day and the judge would look around. What is going on here? Obstruction of your lordship. We arrested them for obstructing the footpath. Oh, okay. And then they would fine us £10 each. We'd never pay it. We never had 10 pence, what to speak of £10 between us. And as soon as we got out of the court, straight on Oxford Street we would go. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare!
Hare Ram! Hare Ram!
Ram Ram! Hare Hare! And that's still going on in its own little way till this very day. Those are going out, not 7 hours a day. But that was so attractive, even George Harrison was very impressed when he would see the devotees going up and down Oxford Street. He would drive along on his way to his Apple studio, and he would see the devotees there on Oxford Street doing kirtan in the snow. And they would do, sometimes there was a cartoon of devotees on Oxford Street one time, and nobody would go, thick snow, but there the devotees were doing their kirtan. There's one devotee in the front with his shovel, shoveling the snow, and all the other devotees behind, jumping up and down, red noses. And there always, no matter what the weather, we would go on kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada very much appreciated that to this very day, that kirtan in Oxford Street is very world famous. George Harrison, that was what it actually attracted him to this movement. He felt these people are sincere. They're not just talking about chanting Hare Krishna, they're doing it. Sometimes movement is known as the Hare Krishna movement, but sometimes we ourselves don't chant. We expect everyone else to chant, and we don't chant. Kirtan time, none of the devotees are there. The guests are there, no devotees. Japa, all the devotees are wandering, sleeping, this, that, the other. And sometimes we've lost the purpose where we came to this movement, which is chanting the holy name of Krishna. So in 1973, I'll just finish there. In the Rath Yatra there in 1973, Srila Prabhupada personally, although his body was in late ages, old age, but still Srila Prabhupada, he was always, of course, offered the Vyasasan on the Rath Yatra car. He wouldn't go on his Vyasasan. But in this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he marble arched to Trafalgar Square. He danced the whole way. That's about 3 kilometers. He jumped up and down, non-stop, dancing, dancing, dancing all the way, and chanting and chanting. And the devotees were just in mad ecstasy, wasn't it? Maybe jumping and dancing there. Jumping and dancing, and it was just like a way. I was thinking, Maharaj was just describing just now how the devotees dancing and chanting, it's so. But I was just thinking, it was just like waves on the great ocean of nectar. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, just seeing the devotees going up and down, the hands up and down, like the foam going up, waves coming up, up and down, so beautifully dancing. And that year also, all the devotees were just ecstatic. Rabbatanandan, Shamasundar, Hari Hansaduda. So many devotees are dancing in ecstasy, leading thundering kirtans. And it was just creating an uproar in the whole city, practically. The police didn't know what to do because it was creating total road blockage. The party was just swelling and swelling, and the traffic was getting blocked up. And the policeman would come up to somebody and say, "Tell the old man to stop. He's got to stop it. It's causing chaos." And then the devotee will go up and tap Srila Prabhupada. "Sorry, they're telling you to stop. They're telling you to stop dancing." Prabhupada would just look. He wouldn't even look. He would just open his eyes and he would just be like, he just wouldn't. It was like it was from another realm, and he would just dance even more. Jump even more, and devotees would jump even higher and dance even louder, chant even louder. In this way, Prabhupada inspired. So this whole movement is coming for the inspiration of Srila Prabhupada. We're all here by his causeless mercy alone, and should never forget that he has given us everything and saved us from this hell of so-called material pleasure by giving us this greatest gift of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy for the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki jai. His Grace Parsa Sarati Prabhu ki jai. Her Lordship Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Anantakota Vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Ananda Prabhu ki.
So, Jananda Prabhu, as I mentioned, when I first joined this Hare Krishna movement, this was in a place in England, in Oxford. Oxford is where the university is, so this is where I used to live. And the devotees came to do a program in 1973 in this city called Oxford in England. And the first devotee I met was Jananda Prabhu, who was looking very transcendental. And he greeted me and he welcomed me. And he was so warm and affectionate that I'd never met a person so warm and affectionate as he. Up to that date, I had never met anyone with so much warmth and affection. So I attended that program, and then I took a book. I took the Isha Upanishad. Then, on reading that book, this convinced me, and I actually became a devotee. I joined the temple in England, and again, Jananda Prabhu became, or was at some point, my Sankirtan leader. So this was in 1973. And in 1974, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, gave permission that I should go to South Africa. So in 1974, I actually went to South Africa. But just before going to South Africa, I was doing my daily service of distributing books. I was a book distributor. So I was giving out books in London, and sure enough, as Jananda explained, I got arrested. Highway obstruction. I think it was 102, something like that. I got arrested, and I had to appear in court. So my date for appearing in court was a little later. But then the same time I had to go to South Africa. So I wasn't too sure what to do. So in the end I went to South Africa, and as I understood, Jananda Prabhu took my place.
I can't remember it, but I know you.
He took my place because we all look the same when we when we have a shaved head, we all look the same. So he took my place and he went to court. And he said he was me. And he got fined. He had to pay a fine, which he didn't pay anyhow. So, these Vaishnava dealings are very nice. Also, you may know in South Africa, we installed the deity Shishi Radharadhanath. So, this deity was installed in 1985. Very beautiful deity. The deity of Krishna has a Brahmin thread, self-manifested all the way around in the marble. So, I was always curious to know, and I always wanted to meet Radhanath Swami, because our deities are Radharadhanath. So I was always very keen to have the association or the acquaintance of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And now, by the mercy of Radharadhanath, they have sent me here, and I now have the association, and I hope also the guidance of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So, while he was mentioning very nicely the stories of Chaitanya Leela. Chaitanya Leela is most important. It's the postgraduate study. Bhagavad Gita is graduate. Bhagavatam is postgraduate. And Chaitanya Charitamrita would be? PhD. So these stories, pastimes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, are most wonderful. When he was mentioning the story of Shivananda Sen, I wondered whether he would explain about another pastime, which ties in very much with the mood in this very wonderful Chaupati temple. On one occasion, Shivananda Sen was organizing, he was serving the Vaishnavas, and he was organizing the walk from Navadweep, Sridhar Mayapur, all the way to Jagannath Puri. As Maharaj was explaining, so much management had to be done, so much arrangement. But Shivananda Sen took this as his service to Vaishnavas, Vaishnav Seva. So, on one year, he was organizing, so many different devotees were going, and the wives of so many wonderful Vaishnavas also. And there happened to be one dog also. One dog somehow or other joined this party. So Shivananda Sen accepted that this dog was also a member of the party, and he should also be concerned about the welfare of this dog. So Shivananda Sen also, he was not only serving Vaishnavas in human body, male or female, but also he considered this dog to be Vaishnav. So the dog also came along with a group. And Shivananda Sen was very careful to feed this dog. He would try to feed him. And whenever they would cross some river, then it was the custom that they would pay some money, some paisa. So he would also pay for the dog. He was very concerned about the welfare of this dog. Then after some time, somehow or other, the dog went missing. The dog left the party. So Shivananda Sen took it that he had committed an offense. Shivananda Sen was so humble that he took it that he had committed an offense to this dog. And he sent so many devotees out to look for this dog. Can you imagine? He was sending devotees out to look for a dog. But they couldn't find. So Shivananda Sen was so mortified. He was so embarrassed. He was so disturbed that he fasted. He felt that he had neglected this dog. He felt that he had not fed the dog. Some rather he had neglected. So he decided to fast. This is the humility of a Vaishnav. So they continued in their pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. But Shivananda Sen was somewhat depressed that this dog had somehow or other left them. And he personally felt that he was responsible. So when they came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, and Shivananda Sen saw in the association, he saw next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the same dog. The same dog was there with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding that dog. He was throwing him pieces of green mango pulp, some type of prasad, green mango pulp. He was feeding the dog. And the dog was also chanting, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So when Shivananda Sen witnessed this, what was his reaction? What did he do? He offered his obeisances to the dog. We are stressing the importance to offer obeisances to Vaishnavas, to serve the Vaishnavas, as Maharaj was saying. so many Vaishnavas offering their dandavats to each other. But here Shivananda Singh was offering his obeisances to a dog. This is the actual condition or humility of a Vaishnav, that his visions, Pandita Samadarshana, he sees equally all living entities. And his humility is such that not only to human beings, but also to residents of the holy Dham, like a dog. Even if we offer our obeisances to some dog in Sridham Mayapur, or Jagannath Puri, or Vrindavan, persons may look at us strangely. But Shivananda Singh, this was his mood. He was serving, in the mood of serving so much, it also went to extend it to animal species. So this particular dog, Shivananda Singh offered his obeisances. And then the next day the dog vanished. It left, it went. And it was understood that the dog actually returned to the spiritual world. The dog actually went back to the spiritual world. So the Vaishnav's perspective is they're trying to serve other Vaishnavs. And this is very much exemplified. I can sense this feeling of Vaishnav seva, service to other Vaishnavs here in this temple in Chaupati. I can see this. I can experience it. I can feel it. It is very wonderful. It is very refreshing. It is very wonderful that by serving Vaishnavs, we can arouse our love of God. This is most important. Vaishnavs say they become very humble servants of, first of all, Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Guru, and then other Vaishnavas. If we try to become the servant of only our Guru but not other Vaishnavas, is not right. Doesn't sit properly. It's not right. We have to become servant of other Vaishnavas. And then our feelings for love of God can awaken. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar Devotion that vibhav is something which stimulates feelings of love of God, ecstasy or bliss, heightened feelings of love of God. Technically this is called vibhav, something which stimulates, awakens our feelings for love of Krishna. It's called vibhav. And vibhav is vishaya alambana, vishaya ashraya. Vishaya means God himself, ashraya means devotee. So when you see a Vaishnav, this also awakens your feelings for love of Krishna, for love of God. If sometimes we would go out on Sankirtan, also as many of you may go and preach, or you may go back to your respective houses in Mumbai, and during the course of your daily activities, you may be working or you may be out on Sankirtan, you may see a devotee walking on the streets. And what is your immediate reaction when you see a devotee walking on the streets? You become happy, is it not? You become enlivened. You look, oh, there's a devotee. So this is called vibhav. It stimulates, is it not? It stimulates your affection. It awakens. So if we see advanced Vaishnav, even more, it awakens. If you were to see Radhanath Swami, yeah? If you were, you know, during your business, you're working in some bank or whatever it is your job is, some factory, you're doing your prescribed duty, and Radhanath Swami walks in, then what? It awakens your feelings. It's called vibhav. It awakens your feelings. Now you can imagine if some or other you were able to see Srila Prabhupada, how this would awaken, heighten the feelings of affection for Krishna. So Rupa Goswami has actually defined this in very technical terms. Alambana Vishaya. Vibhava Alambana Vishaya. that when you see a Vaishnav, Ashraya, one takes shelter of such person, then this awakens, it's called Vibhav, it awakens feelings of Krishna, feelings of love of God. Something is aroused. We become happy. And then that leads to the next one, Anubhav, which means we may start to dance, we may start to sing, etc. So all of these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very wonderful to hear about. And this ISKCON movement is also a transcendental pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the activities of the devotees in this Chaupati temple, it is also a branch of the Chaitanya tree. Definitely. It is also a branch. It is also a pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's very wonderful what you're achieving here. This feeling of unity, this feeling of Krishna consciousness generated out of coming together, associating very nicely together, and preaching under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada's bona fide representative, His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So this is a very unique thing that you're able to achieve here. I was talking with Jananda Prabhu, and this type of mood, it's not so much generated in other temples within our ISKCON society. But there's a very unique flavor or feature to the atmosphere in this temple. And it comes from a feeling of affection. It comes from a feeling of wanting to serve each other. Selfless service and affection. Together, serving together, trying to please your spiritual master, trying to please Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very wonderful contribution. And I am sure His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada will be very pleased with all of your efforts, with all of your combined contribution to make this Chaupati project what it is. I'm sure that you're all attracting His attention. The perfection in our life is to attract the attention of the pure devotee. And by our own efforts, we're actually not able to make advancement. But when we can attract the attention, the mercy of advanced devotee, Srila Prabhupada, then advancement becomes very easy. So by your efforts, by the way you're cooperating together, by the way you are preaching, then definitely Srila Prabhupada will be very pleased. And He will be bestowing His mercy. Although He's not physically present, prakat, aprakat. So the term is aprakat. He's not physically manifest. Still He is conscious. Still He is aware of those persons who are serving Him. His followers, His grand disciples, His disciples. In the future, His great-grand disciples. Great-great-grand disciples. He is aware of those persons who are trying to serve Him. He is conscious of this. So you're all part of this ISKCON movement. And together, you are serving in this project. So He is aware of this. And He will give His mercy accordingly. So my realization is that this project is very important. It's setting a standard for our society. The way you are working together, the way you are cooperating, the way you are putting aside your self-interest and serving Srila Prabhupada, the way you are serving your spiritual master. This is a very wonderful example for myself. And I'm very much impressed and would very much like to feel very honored in your association that I'm witnessing this, experiencing this. So this, of course, is the credit of Srila Prabhupada and those persons who want to serve Him. So His Holiness Radhanatha Swami is a very dear son of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy is coming through Him. And you are also getting it. So I also came here to get it as well. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bom.
Partha Sarathi Prabhu ki jai.